What is going on, sports fans? Hope you had a great weekend. Welcome into the Monday edition of the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Of course, over the weekend, we found out what matchup we are going to have for the Stanley Cup Final. And, of course, that's going to be the Edmonton Oilers taking on the Florida Panthers. This is going to be a pretty fun series. Game one coming up June 8th at 7 p.m. So what is that, Saturday at 7 on ABC is when game one is going to happen. Lots of different matchups. If you're going to look at two players in particular for this game, Connor McDavid for the Oilers, obviously, and then Sam Reinhart for the Panthers. You got to keep an eye on them. But really, it's the two teams in this series overall that is what's going to make this such a fun series. I mean, you're talking about the Panthers, which is the number two team in the NHL, goaltending allowing only 2.29 goals per game. And then on the other side of that, you have the Oilers, who are the number two team in the NHL in scoring goals per game, scoring about 3.5 goals per game throughout the regular season and postseason for the NHL. So you've got one team that is leading or at the top of the league in scoring goals, and then the other one that is in the top of the league in stopping goals. So this is definitely going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, you've got to give the edge to the Panthers on that one with Bobrovsky in the net. I think he's just going to be the difference maker in this. If the Panthers pull it out and win the Stanley Cup, it's going to be because of the play of Bobrovsky there in the net, keeping the Oilers' scoring opportunities at bay. Oilers also leading the NHL, 37.3% successful rate on power play. So that's tops in the NHL. And it's funny because they're going up against the team that has the most penalty minutes in the NHL. So the Panthers like to spend some time in the penalty box. And when the Edmonton Oilers get the opportunities, they like to find the back of the net with power plays. So that's definitely going to be an interesting concept right there. And again, that's another reason why Bobrovsky's going to be such a key factor in this series for the Panthers. He's got to be able to hold tight for those 2 minutes and keep them from scoring, because if that happens, I mean, look, if Florida continuously gets put in the penalty box, because like I said, they lead the NHL in minutes served in the penalty box throughout the season. So if they keep finding themselves in the penalty box and it's setting up the Oilers for great opportunities to do what they do best with a 37.3 success rate on power plays, Bobrovsky's got to have his head on a swivel in that net to make sure that he limits the damage that the Oilers can do. Because the Oilers can flip a game just off of power plays. I mean, we've seen it so far through the postseason. They've gotten to where they are. They're in the Stanley Cup Finals now. A big part of it is because of the way they play with the power play. How successful they are with their power plays. When they get the opportunities, they take the most advantage of it. And I think that that's going to be a big key in this game. Whoever wins that battle, if the Oilers win the power plays, then I think the Oilers are going to have a great opportunity at winning. But if Bobrovsky in the net for the Panthers can be huge, as we've seen him do, not only through the postseason, but the regular season, if he can step up and limit that Oilers power play attack, then I think the Panthers have a real good shot at taking the cup home. Finally, right? Finally. They've kind of been right there, kind of teetering on that edge, needing to take that next step, and this could be that year. So, but it's all going to come down to, I really think a lot of people are going to talk about Connor McDavid and Sam Reinhart, that matchup, rightfully so. But I think Bobrovsky for the Panthers is definitely going to be, keep an eye on Bob in the net. He's definitely going to be a key factor. Also, with the Panthers making it to the Stanley Cup Finals for the second year in a row. And by the way, neither team touched their trophy after winning the Eastern and Western Conference. So that is good news for both teams heading into the Stanley Cup Finals. If you're not familiar with it, there is a superstition, although there is a lot of evidence to back this particular superstition up, that if you win the Eastern Conference Final or if you win the Western Conference Final and you touch those trophies when they're presented to you on the ice or in the locker room, wherever it happens, whether you're the road team or the visiting team, if you touch those trophies, you will lose the Stanley Cup Final. And like I said, there's a lot of evidence. Don't believe me? Last year, Eastern Conference Final, Florida Panthers touched the trophy. They skated over, immediately started touching it, rubbing it. A couple of guys gave it a kiss, and they lost the Stanley Cup Finals. Tampa, what was it, the year before when Colorado beat Tampa for the Stanley Cup? Tampa touched it after they won the Eastern Conference Final. You don't touch the Eastern Conference Final Championship trophy, and you don't touch it in the Western either. It's bad luck, bad juju. You don't want that on yourself. Neither one of these teams touched it. So I think we're going to have a pretty good series heading into this one. But Florida, just the state of Florida, really, in general, not just with the Panthers, but Florida, how about the state of Florida when it comes to hockey, right? Not a state you would necessarily associate with hockey, right? Lots of sunshine. It's warm. Not a very good environment for ice, you know? Hockey's a cold weather sport. That's why it's in the Winter Olympics, not the Summer Olympics. But Florida has become a state that has been a staple in the world of hockey the last few years. The last five Eastern Conference champions in the NHL have come from the state of Florida, with the Panthers the last 2 years and the Lightning 3 years before that. The last five Eastern Conference final champions have come from the state of Florida. Plus, you look at it this year, Tampa Bay Lightning in the postseason, Florida Panthers, obviously they're playing for the Stanley Cup. They made the postseason as well. But then even at the minor league level, every single minor league hockey team in the state of Florida this past season made it into the postseason. We're talking about the Orlando Solar Bears, the Jacksonville Icemen, the Florida Everblades, and of course our very own Pensacola Ice Flyers. All made it into the postseason. As a matter of fact, the Everblades won the Kelly Cup in the ECHL last year, and they're playing for it right now. And last I checked, they had a 1-0 lead in that series. So there's a real chance they could have back-to-back Kelly Cup teams there in South Florida for the Everblades. So, man, the state of Florida is booming right now when it comes to the sport of hockey. And it's pretty cool, too, because, again, it's not a state you would think of as being like a big hockey state, but it is incredible. And what's even more so is seeing all these people that are used to, you know, football, especially college football with Florida, Florida State, Miami, Central Florida, South Florida, Florida Atlantic, Florida International, all the Florida football programs we have, and, of course, our very own UWF Argos, not too far from where we're doing the show at right now. Great football here in the state of Florida at the college level. Good football. Jacksonville, Miami, Tampa. Tampa just a couple of years ago won the Super Bowl. Miami is one of those teams that's kind of starting to turn that corner and becoming a Super Bowl contender. So who knows what could happen with them in the future if they keep adding pieces and keep moving that team and that program in the right direction. And then, of course, baseball. The Rays, what, 2020, you know, during the COVID season, played the Dodgers for the World Series. You know, you've got the Marlins trying to kind of get things going there. They're not necessarily having the best season this year, but I think they're looking at a complete and total rebuild in the offseason. But still, you know, lots of other great sports in the state of Florida. But the love and the passion and the commitment that has been given to hockey is pretty fun and pretty cool to be a part of and to watch, right? Like, as a hockey fan or any other way, just being in that environment, man, it's so cool. It is so cool. And it's so great that the hockey in the state of Florida is become so rich. And it's just, it's a lot of fun to watch. So let's see if we can't bring the Stanley Cup back to the state of Florida with the Florida Panthers winning it. I think that they will. Again, like I said, Bobrovsky and the Nets going to be big for them. He hasn't let them down yet. I don't think he will let them down in the finals. I think they bring home Lord Stanley's Cup to the great state of Florida, and the Florida Panthers. Would this be their first? I believe it would be their first Stanley Cup. I might be wrong on that. They might have. I'm pretty sure it'd be their first. Either way, they're going to celebrate and party like it's their first, and rightfully so. They've got a good team this year, and they definitely deserve to finally take that next step and get that hump off their back, if you will. Isn't that the phrase? I don't know. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. And finally, not only get to the Stanley Cup Finals like they did a year ago, but actually get the win once you're there. So we'll see what happens with that. Again, that series gets started Saturday at 7 p.m. on ABC. So we'll keep an eye out for that. Last night on ABC, some more sports action. The Women's College World Series for softball. Florida eliminated Alabama 6-4. That was a game that was supposed to have started around lunchtime yesterday, but some weather delays pushed it back to starting at around 6 o'clock. So they were able to get that game in. Florida, the Gators take care of Bama 6-4. And the game after that, Stanford, they took care of UCLA in that elimination game. So Florida and Stanford will advance on. They'll play today. Florida is actually going to be playing Oklahoma. I believe the first game of that is coming up at 11 o'clock. If Florida wins that first game, they will play another game against Oklahoma to decide who advances on to the World Series. And the same is the case for Stanford and Texas. Texas has to win once. Stanford has to win twice. Whoever wins that series will face the winner of Florida and Oklahoma for the Women's College Softball World Series there in OKC. Several different teams on the men's side advancing from the regionals to the super regionals. I believe I saw Florida State advanced, LSU advanced, a couple of other SEC teams throughout the regions advanced. I know Florida is playing, I believe, Oklahoma State for an opportunity to advance to the super regionals. Their game is going to be at, I think, 3:30 this afternoon, 2:30 this afternoon, something along those lines. Lots of local area teams that, you know, have local interest here in the area. Definitely playing really good softball and baseball right now. So kind of, I guess, hey, you talk about the state of Florida being a hockey state. We're talking about Florida State and Florida advancing through the Women's College World Series and Men's College Baseball World Series. So maybe Florida's just an everything state when it comes to sports. We're doing a lot of good things at a lot of different levels. Let's see. Moving on now, Commanders in the NFL. They release kicker Brandon McManus after, not good news there. Two women suing him for sexually assaulting him. Both of the women worked as flight attendants for an airline. The kicker was on their flight. McManus was on their flight. And apparently he tried to kiss one and then was grinding and rubbing is what the article that I read on this and what the lawsuit says. He was grinding and rubbing on the other. I don't think there was any other option here other than to cut him from the team. Right? Like that's not suspendable anymore. That's not one of those things where you go, well, let's suspend him and see what plays out as far as the lawsuit goes. That's an automatic. If you are linked to anything with sexual assault in the NFL, I don't care who you are, I don't care what position you play. You gotta be done, right? I think that's kind of the rule and the direction that the NFL wants to go in. So obviously he played for Jacksonville last year. He was the kicker for the Jags last year, was moved over to Washington during the offseason and not going to get a chance to take a snap for him and kick the ball for him because he's off the team, rightfully so too, with this lawsuit. But the Commanders also are in the news for possibly making another name change. Please don't. I just got used to saying the Commanders, and I'm still not even 100% used to saying the Commanders. Please don't change your name again. I don't know why you would think, oh, yeah, we might need to change it. I know that there's actually been some pressure from some Native American tribes that have come out and said, oh, we kind of want you to go back to the Redskins. Like, go back to the Redskins. We see it as an honor. There's actually been some that have come out and said that, so I don't know if they would go back to that. But some wording that was basically said within the last couple of days in the media is that, yeah, you know, we'd be open to it. I mean, it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's not going to be like next year we're going to have a completely new team name. But, you know, we could see it happening. Why could they see it happening? Well, that's because 58% of their fan base hates the name the Commanders. Washington just seems like one of those teams that, like, obviously they changed from the Washington Redskins to the Washington Football Club or Washington Football Team, whatever they were, in 2020. And then they stayed that until 2022 when they introduced themselves as the Washington Commanders and debuted the new uniforms and all that stuff that they were wearing. And like I said, I've just gotten used to saying Commanders. All right, I still say the San Diego Chargers from time to time on accident. Can we please just not change the name anymore? Like, especially if you're Washington, just stay the Washington Commanders. It fits well because you've got the, what is it, the XFL team was the DC whatever that kind of almost, like, they're very similar. So can we please just not touch the name? I know 58% of the fan base doesn't like it, but maybe they'll learn to like it because I can't relearn another name from Washington. We've already had like three name changes for them over the last 5, 6, 7 years. I can't do another one. So let's just not and say we did, please. How about some other news from around the world of sports? Well, we'll stay in the NFL because we got a couple of big stories. One's big, broke this morning. The other one is just kind of one of those things that you look at and you go, huh. All right, I don't really know where they got that from, but okay. Some win totals for different NFL teams were released within the last few days, and the New York Giants were given 6.5 wins as far as like their betting line was given 6.5 wins for the 2024 season. To me, that's a little generous. And I'm sorry. Look, if you're a Giants fan, I'm not trying to like poo-poo on your team. I know I've talked about the Giants a couple of other times before. But I really do expect the Giants to be the worst team in the NFL this upcoming season. I think the Giants are not only going to be looking for a new quarterback when this season is over, they're going to be looking for a new head coach, and they're going to have the number one overall pick in the draft, which, hey, it's great news if you're trying to rebuild a franchise and rebuild a team like the Giants probably are going to be doing when this season is over. So it really does kind of work out into their favor if they're absolutely just terrible this year. Am I saying they should tank? No. But if they're terrible, like I said, they're going to be looking for a new quarterback. They're going to be looking for a new head coach. They're going to be probably more than likely the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. So, you know, you'd be able to go out and get some quality talent and some quality players in those situations, right? As we've talked before, the possibility is legitimate and actually is something that is actually being discussed that if Dak Prescott doesn't get a deal done with the Dallas Cowboys, he very well could end up in a New York Giants uniform next year in 2025. And there's a very real possibility that a certain Bill Belichick, yes, that Bill Belichick, could be somebody that they target as their new head coach. And think of that pairing, Dak Prescott and Belichick. It could be a dangerous one if you're in New York and cheering for the Giants. Could be good for you. So maybe embrace the suck this year, you know? Embrace the terrible team that you're going to have in 2024. My thing with the team is Daniel Jones is still the quarterback. That means you're going to get inconsistent quarterback play and you're going to get turnovers, right? He's just not a good NFL quality quarterback. He's not an NFL quarterback in my mind at all. Could he play in the UFL or the XFL or whatever the leagues are called? Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but in the NFL, I just don't see it with Daniel Jones. So the inconsistency there, the turnovers, that's going to hurt you on offense. Yes, you added Malik Nabers by drafting him earlier this year, but you also lost Saquon Barkley. So you really just kind of replaced one talented player with another. And you might have had something if you were able to hold on to Saquon Barkley there in New York, keep him a Giant, and add Malik Nabers, you might have had something because then you would have had a dynamic receiver and a dynamic running back, and that maybe could have taken a little bit of pressure off of Daniel Jones. But now you've got one dynamic player. He lines up out wide. Defenses double team him, take him out of the conversation, and you're just back at square one with not a lot of talent around Daniel Jones, who is, again, inconsistent unless it comes to turnovers. That's the one thing he's consistent with. So offensively, not a lot there to make you go, well, you know, they might actually be pretty good. Defensively, if they win some games this year, it's probably going to be because of their defense. I mean, they've got guys like Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau. Those guys are going to be playing and anchoring that defensive line for the Giants and anchoring that defense. So I do think defensively the Giants can be an annoyance to the whatever team they're facing. And what I mean by annoyance is I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to be a good defensive football team or a great defensive football team. I think they're going to be annoying. They're going to be kind of like that, since it's summertime, that gnat that's constantly flying around your ear when you're outside. You keep swatting at it, but it just doesn't go away. I think that's going to kind of be the Giants' defense. They're not going to completely be an elite defense. They're not going to be a good defense, but they're going to make plays. They're going to get stops. They're going to be good enough to make you not refer to them as terrible or bad, if that makes sense. So I don't have a lot of faith in the Giants as far as their X's and O's and the Jimmys and Joes. And you couple that with having to play in a tough division. They do have to play the Dallas Cowboys. They do have to play the Philadelphia Eagles, who have their former running back in Saquon Barkley now to go with that already talented offense that they had in the city of brotherly love. So looking at the outcome for the Giants, if you're a Giants fan, yeah, it's not going to be pretty. I just, like I said, embrace the suck, get ready for a new head coach, get ready for a new starting quarterback, and get ready for the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. Because that's probably what you're going to end up with. The Minnesota Vikings, they recently, speaking of the draft, drafted A.J. McCarthy out of Michigan to be their future quarterback. Well, they're locking down a target for him. They have signed Justin Jefferson to an extension for 4 years, $140 million. $110 million of that is guaranteed. So I think this is that step of that direction of them. Again, like I said, they understand that A.J. McCarthy is their future. They're at the quarterback position, and they've got to make sure they keep his weapons in-house and can't let him get out the door and go to any other team. So they are signing that extension there. I mean, that's 4 years, $140 million. $110 of that is guaranteed. You're a happy man today if you're Justin Jefferson. I'll tell you that. You are happy. You're going out and you boat shopping. You're going out. Maybe you got a cousin or somebody who's turning 16 in a couple of weeks or something. You're going and picking out a car for them. You're going to be the best cousin or uncle or whatever. You're going to hook them up with a nice car, right? I think, honestly, if I'm Justin Jefferson, I go buy a Tesla truck. Why not? Go buy a Tesla truck and get it wrapped purple and gold. I'm rolling up every home game in that. Let's do it. Let's do it. In the NBA, New Orleans, the Pelicans, they are expected to be aggressive this NBA offseason. We've talked about multiple teams. We talked about the Timberwolves needing to go find somebody for Anthony Edwards. We talked about, and even Banchero made the comment after the Magic in Orlando got eliminated by the Cavs in the first round of the postseason. They need a setup guy. They need to go this offseason and find a setup guy in free agency to kind of help them take that next step. Pelicans are kind of looking just to find any type of direction after getting swept by OKC in the first round of this year's playoffs. Christian Clark from NOLA.com has actually come out and said that they are expected to pursue upgrades this offseason, and that means at every position. They're looking at a complete and total rehaul and overvamp of this team. They've got a lot of guys that could be opting out as free agents. We'll see what happens with whether they want to sign those guys, let them walk. You let a couple of them walk, that's going to open up opportunities for you to go get those upgrades like we talked about. Brandon Ingram could be a trade piece for them. Maybe they send him off somewhere to get a long-term point guard or even somebody at the center position. You know, you talk about a point guard, Trae Young out of Atlanta could be a possible pickup for them if they want to go that route. Could definitely be somebody that's extremely gettable for the Pelicans if they go that route and trying to find that next point guard for them. They have a couple of unprotected picks. They've got one from the Lakers and one from the Bucks, so they're going to have those in the draft coming up. They can be able to, you know, jump up and grab some key players there. So just kind of going to be curious to see what New Orleans does, as they're expected to be the most aggressive team, and what at least it sounds like, the most aggressive team in the NBA as far as going out and not only just filling their needs, but really revamping and redoing this entire team there for the Pelicans. So we'll see how that plays out. In college football, as we get a little closer to the season, we are now in June, so we're just a couple of months away. What, about 2.5-3 months away from the start of the season? I want to look at the Big 12, in particular Oklahoma State in the Big 12, because I really do think Oklahoma State is one of those teams that is, and maybe when we get a little closer to the season, more people will start talking about Oklahoma State. But right now, as far as the Big 12 goes, I think the conversation has been about the new teams that are joining, especially when you've got Colorado, is coached by Deion Sanders, coming into the conference. That's going to get a lot of publicity. But I think Oklahoma State is one of those teams that's flying under the radar, that is a sleeper, and that is going to be a lot better than a lot of people think this year. I like Oklahoma State. Call me crazy. I like Oklahoma State not only for the Big 12, but as a college football playoff team, right? I do. I know. You probably are like, what? Really? I think they're going to be a lot better than a lot of people expect. Look, Mike Gundy knows how to coach ball. All right, he knows how to coach ball, especially when he has the right players. And by the way, they are returning 85% of their production from a year ago. That doesn't automatically make you a good football team, but it does. Yeah, that definitely is a contributing factor, right? One of the reasons why Alabama and Nick Saban was so good. One of the reasons why you see Georgia so good. One of the reasons why you see Ohio State so good is that they have those players that come back. They have continuity. Those older veteran players help the younger players. So when the older veteran players move on, the younger players can move up, and then they do the same. And it creates this revolving door. And we're starting to see that revolving door happening in Stillwater with the Oklahoma State Cowboys, returning 85% of their production from a year ago. Does include their quarterback in Alan Bowman. Also on the defensive side of the ball, Colin Oliver, going to be back. He was huge for them on the defensive line a year ago. Plus, look at the teams that aren't in the Big 12 anymore. There is no Texas. They're in the SEC. There is no Oklahoma. They're in the SEC. And oh, by the way, if you break down all of Mike Gundy's losses in his time at Oklahoma State, 20% of those losses came to the Oklahoma Sooners. Not in the league anymore. They're in the SEC. They're off playing with Bama and LSU and Florida and Georgia and all the other big boys of college football. So Oklahoma State's really kind of in a great position right now to where they can take control over the Big 12 and have an opportunity at not only winning the Big 12, but sneaking into the college football playoff as well. All right? Watch out for Mike Gundy and the Cowboys. This is a Cowboys team that actually could get into the playoffs. Yeah, Dallas fans, I said it. You can say something to me later. But, Oklahoma State is definitely a really good team. Don't sleep on the Cowboys. I think they've got a great opportunity to finish strong and not only win the Big 12, but that college football playoff. I mean, there's 12 teams now. So, just saying, if they end up in somewhere, don't be surprised. All right, so Friday, we're going to close out the show with this. Friday, I told you I didn't have my pick yet for the NBA Finals. I said I'll think about it over the weekend. I'll look into some things about both teams, and I'll get back to you on Monday. I will make my pick now. Am I 100% solid in my pick? No, honestly and truthfully, I'm a little bit more solid in picking the Florida Panthers for the Stanley Cup Finals than I am for the NBA Finals. I'm a man of my word. I told you I would make my pick on Monday, so I'm going to make my pick here to close out today's show. You look at the teams that are going to be playing in the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics. You've got some great players on both sides of the ball. Obviously, you've got Kyrie. You've got Luka. Great, phenomenal athletes. You've got on the other side of the ball, you've got a guy like Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown. I think for me, I'm going to have to go Boston in this series. I think they are the better team. They have rolled through just about everybody they played. I think when we start this series, it's going to favor Dallas a little bit. It's going to tip towards Dallas a little bit because Boston has had a little bit more time off. There's going to be a little bit of rust there, but I think once that rust comes off, Boston's going to be able to kind of fight back into this series. Would not surprise me one bit if we see Dallas take game one, but Boston come back and take game two and game three and jump up to a 2-1 lead. And then I think it's going to be a back and forth. I think Boston wins it in six. And I think it is going to be one of those things to where it's going to be a team effort from Boston, as it has been throughout most of the postseason, right? When Porzingis went down, everybody, myself included, was like, uh-oh, what's going to happen with the Celtics now? Porzingis is out. How does that affect them moving forward? And it didn't. It didn't. They continued to play, scratch, and claw as a team. And they honestly and truthfully, really, relatively blew through just about anybody they faced after that in the postseason, right? Didn't really have any issue with the Miami Heat. They didn't. And it just kind of continued to build and move on past that. So I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics in six. I know there's a lot of NBA fans that aren't necessarily big Boston Celtics fans that aren't going to like hearing that, but I do think the Celtics, just from the standpoint of how they play together as a team, and I'm not saying Dallas doesn't. I'm just saying the players, I'm taking the Jimmys and the Joes on Boston over the Jimmys and the Joes on Dallas. X's and O's are very similar between these two teams. Very similar. Jason Kidd does a fantastic job there as the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. If the Mavericks were to win this series, would not surprise me one bit at all. But I got a gut feeling that the Boston Celtics are going to get it done. Lost to Golden State back in 2022 in the NBA Finals. They're back. They're all saying it's a second chance. They're all saying it's a fresh opportunity for them. And I think they take full advantage of it. I think it's going to be a good series. It's going to go six games. I think Boston pulls it out. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope you have a great rest of your Monday. I will talk to you tomorrow for a Taco Tuesday edition of the Glass Half Full with me, Jordan Glass, and ESPN Pensacola podcast.